When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And now,
back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Thanks for spending time on a Friday. It's Hail Varsity. We're powered by Cornhead Lager, Chris Schmidt, Elijah Herbal, Cotter Clark. Walter from Philly is asking the question we all want to know, and I don't own a drone, but who's sending a drone to record the scrimmage tomorrow? We all want to watch. Elijah, Connor, do you have a drone?
I don't have a drone nor a license to have a drone.
That's true.
I have a friend who has both a drone and a license to have
a
drone.
There you go.
That being said, he has recently moved to Phoenix.
So that's a no. Jacob Padilla is with us from Hail Varsity and Herd at Sports. Jacob, no drone for you, or are you a drone guy?
Or do you have any secret spots, maybe a top of a parking garage, top of the Capitol, where you can see practice?
I don't have a drone, but Kyle Byers does.
Ooh, Kyle from Herd at. That could help us out. Is Kyle willing to get arrested for us?
He brought one down to Tampa with us for the volleyball trip and got some shots out there for part of the video. So
cool.
Check it out.
Well, we got to put the old bat signal out for Kyle and then never see him at practice again.
He's in federal prison.
He's in federal college football prison. Jacob, good to spend a few minutes with you, and I want to get your thoughts. We'll get to Nebraska and you know, rounding out the roster for Fred. But just as a basketball guy that covers both in-state programs and has your finger on the pulse of the world of college basketball, what's your take on just Kentucky? And I ask that because Kentucky lost Cal. He went to Arkansas. Kentucky's a blue blood. It's a lot of parallels between Nebraska and Kentucky from a fan base standpoint. And, you know, they swung and missed at a lot of choices after Cal, and they settled on BYU's coach, which I'm not knocking. I think the guy's all right, but he's never won a tournament game. How did you process this whole week of the Cal, the Arkansas, the Kentucky thing? I want your basketball perspective.
It's kind of an interesting point in college basketball, just the way everything's playing out right now. First off, just with the kind of the aging out of the longtime, like the biggest names in the sport, with Roy Williams and Coach K and Jay Wright kind of taking himself out early, like a lot of the biggest names are stepping out. And so those are kind of the names you turn to. It's interesting that North Carolina and Duke both chose to go in-house mm-hmm. as opposed to big name hunting and just promoting from within. Because those are the school, the bluest of blue bloods. You think, well, if anybody can hire whoever they want, it would be those two. And they didn't even attempt to chase anybody. They just went with their in-house guy. And now we see another of those blue bloods did kind of big name chase and wasn't able to get any of them. All the guys decided that they're comfortable where they're at. And part of that, I think, is the money is good enough now at their places, and they're always going to get raises when these kind of openings happen. But it's to the point where the money is good enough that you can consider everything else and kind of factor in, all right, am I comfortable where I'm at? Do I have the ability to kind of accomplish my goals here? And obviously that's true for Dan Hurley at UConn, mm-hmm. considering he just won back-to-back national titles. And so that's one to struck out on in some of the others here. So it is interesting just kind of the way that we've seen this hiring go. Louisville obviously didn't kind of had some struggles, missed out on some of their top targets, end up good coach at Pat Kelsey, but not necessarily one of the biggest names in sport by any means. And then Mark Pope, who – it is kind of an awkward situation because he is one of their own. Mm-hmm. We saw Rick Pitino kind of put out the video in support of him because I don't think the hire went over well with a lot of fans because
no, it didn't.
hasn't won a tournament game. Honestly, like his X's and O's at this point, like his offense was better than Calipari's. So from that standpoint, like, even upgrade in at least one part of the coaching, at least where Calipari is at this point in modern basketball. It's just a matter of, can he go out and get dudes that you need to get at Kentucky that they're used to getting. So just it's just kind of fascinating with so much changing in college sports right now with all the conference upheaval, with NIL and everything going on. It's just, I don't know. We've got a while here before I think things settle down and maybe kind of figure some things out. So right now it's just kind of all chaos in all forms, all levels of college sports.
Jacob Bedil is with us here on Hail Varsity Radio. And Jacob, this isn't a question. It's just one thing I noticed yesterday, didn't know before. Mark Pope, born in Omaha, Nebraska. Do you know that?
Yeah. I did see that from a couple people yesterday. I did not realize it before yesterday, but I had heard it. So, yeah, now I guess there's a little local tie into kind of all this national madness going on.
Well, my actual question in relation to Mark Pope, in relation to Kentucky, I got four names for you. I want you to tell me who the big winner is. Is it Calipari, I should say, going off to Arkansas? Is it Mark Pope going back to the alma mater at Kentucky? Is it Scott Drew getting the extension at Baylor? Or is it Dan Hurley at UConn? Who's the big winner from this Kentucky saga?
Well, I mean, Dan Hurley's just the big winner, period. and obviously just won it all, and he's very happy where he's at. It's interesting because I think I would have said, like, Kentucky was kind of a winner in that they wanted to move on from Calipari, but with a $33 million buyout, just couldn't justify it. And the fan base was kind of done with them, ready to move on. And even he himself said, like, in his parting video, like, time for a new voice there. The problem is what happened after that. they didn't quite get what they were hoping. And so now it's kind of like, wow, this is going to be an interesting experiment to see there. So I think just Dan Hurley in general is a winner right now. And I think Baylor as well, just kind of the ability for these programs that have become really good programs but don't have the historical cachet necessarily of Kentucky and North Carolina and Duke, are able to hold on to these coaches just because they've become so comfortable there and are happy with what they have available to them, that they don't need to go chase the biggest job. So I guess you can consider all of, honestly, it's a kind of a win-win for everybody. It'll be fascinating to see how the Arkansas situation goes. Like, is Cal going to kind of learn from what went wrong at Kentucky and continue to evolve, or is it kind of a blank slate to where, like, it's a new fan base, new administration can kind of go back to doing things his way. So that'll be just kind of one to track and see what Arkansas looks like now under Calipari.
Jacob Padilla is with us on Hail Varsity Radio. Switching over to Husker basketball and Fred's recruitment in the transfer portal. Obviously a big one coming out next week in Frankie Fiddler, where he will go. Any word on him that you know of, Jacob? Any progression that Nebraska has made with Fiddler?
I know they did make a hard push for it. I honestly, like, I've kind of been lost on this one from the start. Like, I've gotten all kinds of signals from all over the place on this one that I kind of had a tough time making heads or tails of. So I legitimately do not know where he's going to announce on Monday. I know, again, Nebraska tried to make a late push for him. He was kind of hanging out with some of the guys over the weekend or whatever. And obviously, now he made his trip up to Michigan State to kind of round out that trip. Been hearing some Omaha buzz, like trying to get him back, trying to get him to withdraw from the portal and just stay there. That's kind of the latest thing that's happened that I heard about. Who knows kind of where that leads. So, yeah, I'm about as lost as everybody at this point.
Jacob, a thought here on Griffiths from Rutgers. He's here this weekend. Also, John Yulee, the Oklahoma transfer. Are you feeling okay about Nebraska's prospects when it comes to the competition for both these guys?
Griffiths is tough. I didn't see him as a prospect at all. Mm-hmm. I know I was a top 50 recruit or whatever. I was very not impressed with anything I saw of him at Rutgers, and the numbers kind of to back that up. He was kind of pretty terrible as a freshman, and certainly didn't look the part out there on the court just when I watched them play and then try to do things. So, like, that one.
Hey, I'm on your wavelength, Jacob.
Yeah. I I guess I need to go back and watch the kind of pre-college tape just to see, all right, what kind of led to this ranking or whatever. And maybe it is, and it's tough for anybody to look good in Rutgers offense at this point. So I don't want to hold that too much against
him. Only Rutgers.
Double elbow off the top rope.
Jacob's going steel chair this afternoon. Yeah. I love it.
Could be one where he just better fit, and he kind of is able to bring out the skill set that made him the recruit that he was. Hewley is especially after, we'll see what happens with Reek Mass and all that, after adding Andrew Morgan. Hewley, again, seems like a guy that doesn't kind of add a whole lot different than what you already have there. So, and obviously they've already tried to recruit him once and kind of struck out that time. I mean, Nebraska has recruited him, what, this would be the third time because previous staff recruited him or he was recruited. I don't know, he visited Nebraska in high school, I know. And then, obviously, they recruited him last year when he went to transfer. Now, again, that's one I don't really yet. With what they have, but at this point, again, it's just a matter of they got to fill out scholarships and figure out, all right, which of these guys are legitimately interested in joining our program because they got six spots to fill still. So you don't necessarily want to rebuff anybody that shows legitimate interest, but I'm looking forward to kind of fast forwarding a few commits down the line to start to see what this picture looks like, filling a few more of the holes so then you can see, all right, where might they go with these last couple spots? Cause right now, it just seems wide open.
Jacob, before we get you out, Andrew Morgan, you mentioned him. He's in the boat. Do you see him as a guy that plays next to Rink? Is that a guy who backs up Rink? What is your take on just how Morgan fits into this Nebraska basketball team?
I think he could play both. Like, he could play next to, he could play with. We saw them play a lot of Josiah Alec and Rink Mass together down the stretch of the season. And not the same skill set as Alec, but gives you a little bit more offensive polish there. And Mass has shown the ability to rebound at a pretty good rate. So you can see those two playing well off of each other offensively. You're still lacking quite a bit in rim protection there. That's the part that I don't love, but for stretches of game, based on kind of what the other team is throwing out there, you can see them with Mass' ability to play out on the perimeter. You can run some high-low stuff with those two. Morgan's kind of a post-up guy who can also step out and knock down a three every game, every second or third game. Not a high-volume guy, but he's capable. So you can see those two definitely playing together offensively, and then I guess if you kind of put some more length around them, maybe you can make it work a little defensively depending on what the matchups are. So he's kind of a utility guy. I think that he can back up five, he can play next to Mass, he can play long minutes if you need him to. So I can see, at the initial, it didn't seem like he fit a lot of the needs that you would think in terms of rounding out the skill sets and the kind of body types in the front court, but they got a lot of spots to fill, and he's a good player, and you can use him in multiple ways. So I guess it's a good pickup for Nebraska, and now got to see how they round it out around those guys.
Jacob, have yourself a good weekend, man. Thanks for the time today.
Yep, talk to you later.